Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
Lord, may your presence and your power fill our hearts in this place. Fill our minds, that we would be immersed in your presence, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would come and give us understanding of your word. Spirit, we need you. We need you, God. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen and amen. We are in a sermon series right now where we are looking at spiritual gifts. If you're joining us for the first time or haven't been throughout, this is number four. We've spent a lot of time kind of introing. We talked about how what the gifts are and defined the gifts. And we've talked about kind of the pros and cons of the charismatic and Pentecostal movement. That was the last 2 weeks. We looked at church history first, and then we looked at very specific pros and cons last week. And now we are jumping into the gifts in regards to the gift specific specifically, prophecy. Now, here's what I want to say. I am a charismatic. Shouldn't surprise you. I speak in tongues daily. I've been given words of wisdom. I've had prophetic dreams and prophetic words. For a season, I saw many healed through prayer. My hands would actually heat up when I prayed for people. I'm convinced through experience, but more importantly, scripture, that the gifts have not ceased. Yet I find myself studying the scriptures afresh with curiosity and vigor to restore my heart to the truth of God's word about how these gifts can be used in a healthy biblical way at our church. In other words, I am personally, as we walk through this study, doing what I've asked you to do, and that's this, a blank screen. To just hit the reset button on our idea of spiritual gifts. Because we are all over the map. We have some people here that are cessationists. We have some people here that are extremely charismatic. We have some people here that are scared to death in the fact that someday maybe they'll listen to somebody speak in tongues. And we've all had these different experiences, some of them extremely unhealthy. And so I'm asking, can we just push the reset button and come with a blank slate and just look to the word? And I just have to testify, I've been studying and preaching and in the scriptures for a long time now. So I have tried to remove a lot of the presuppositions and assumptions about gifts and just look to the scriptures, read books, and get into the Greek and all this cool stuff. And I am having such a good time learning the gifts almost anew. And so hopefully you can hit the reset button on what we know or have experienced, whether good or bad, and look to the word of God. You see, we are in the last days, amen? What's interesting though is last days biblically is defined from the time of Christ until he returns. So we've been in the last days now for a long time. But are we not one day closer to the return of Christ? We are one day closer to the return of Christ, and what a glorious day that will be. I was thinking about that this morning when Christ returns. Huh. Right? Like, the sky's gonna crack open. The saints will be lifted. This is gonna be a big deal. All of our sin, all of our sorrow, no more tears, no more fears. Come on, somebody, this is gonna be a good time. And we look forward to that day. We are in the last days. And we look forward to that, to him returning. And what's so cool about the work of God is that the Holy Spirit within the new covenant, the Holy Spirit no longer dwells with certain people in certain times and for certain tasks or anointing, but instead dwells in all who believe. And he comforts us and helps us through this life until Christ returns. You are not alone, saint. You've been given the Spirit. Look what it says in Ephesians 1:13-14. In case you doubt, In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, speaking of Jesus. So upon belief, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So let me ask you some questions. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins?
Yes.
Do you believe that he rose again, granting you life?
Yes.
Congratulations. You have the Holy Spirit. Yes, that can be applauded. That is great news. You have the promised Holy Spirit. Shall we not pray for his power? Shall we not pray for his presence to be filled, immersed with the Holy Spirit, gifted and anointed to the praise of his glory? This is a rhymic novena up on the screen. Ah, it's kind of hard to see. Isn't that a beauty? That's almost a $2 million car right there. Who was right? It boasts of over 1,900 horsepower. For those of you that don't understand that, I'll just say it this way. It can go from 0 to 60 in less than 2 seconds. It has 4 electric motors. It's one of the most powerful cars you can buy. Now, here's a silly question. Look at that car. Think about the power that I just said and how fast it is. Do you think the Spirit is more powerful than this car?
Yes.
That the Spirit is worth more than this car?
Yes.
I would agree with you. Yet it seems to me that we all have something just like this in our driveway, yet we never get in and drive. Think about that for a second. You imagine having this in your driveway and never driving it? I'm sure if you paid $2 million for it, it probably would just stay there. Imagine parking this in the parking lot at 7-Eleven. Be so afraid of a door ding, right? And I think that some of us, we kind of get this like weird understanding about the Holy Spirit. We're afraid because it's like either maybe a precious situation or like we just don't quite understand. But here's the good news is the Holy Spirit is a friend. He's a helper. He's a comforter. And so I'm asking, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, as we talk about spiritual gifts, can we turn the key on and press down the pedal? Receive what the power of the Holy Spirit has for us. Quit him-hawing around. Get in the car and drive. Think about what it would feel like to go from 0 to 60 in less than 2 seconds. Come on, somebody. All the men are just like, yeah. All the women are like, nope. Not all. Listen to this in Acts 2. When the Spirit enters into the scene in a new covenant church, it says this, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Now, what's going on here is they all were in the upper room, and all of a sudden, they all started speaking in tongues, with tongues of fire, and things are going crazy to the point to where the leaders are like, what are these guys, drunk? And then Peter addresses it. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. By the way, a huge feast is going on. Let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since this is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Now listen to this. And in the last days, what days are we in right now? Come on now. Does that mean this is for us? In the last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall, imagine that. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old man shall dream dreams. I'm pretty sure I'm still in seeing visions. Just kidding. I'm definitely old man seeing dreams. Even on male and servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Today we look at the gift of prophecy. Which, if you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. That's on page 959 in the Pew Bibles. And we're going to work our way through 1 Corinthians 12 all the way through 14, hitting on the idea of prophecy. We have the page numbers there. Those are for our Pew Bibles right in front of us. And so if you don't know your way to negotiate the Bible, we have our page numbers there. And if you need a Bible, take that Bible home. That is our gift to you. Here's what I'd like to request. Just a simple Bible study, a gathering of facts about prophecy from 1 Corinthians 12 to 14 to develop a theology of the gift of prophecy. That's it. So if it would be more helpful for you, consider what it would be like to be in Corinth. Okay, they were kind of a messy church. If you've ever read 1 Corinthians, they have a lot of things going on. They're a newer church plant, and they have divisions going on, almost like gang stuff, like I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul. Like they're just kind of all over the map, and they have divisions. They have believers suing each other. They have just all this stuff is going on, but in the midst of all the mess, God is redeeming and restoring. And so Paul writes a letter to address some of the things that are going on as a church. Now imagine you're reading this letter for the first time. And you hear it read all the way through. And you're like, the very words of God, like, right? Like this is a letter that's inspired by the Spirit for us to be able to live our lives according to what is being written. And then imagine going through it a second time going, I really want to know about prophecy. What does the Bible say about this idea of prophecy? And it hits your interest. So imagine reading this for the first time. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. You see, the first thing we need to understand about prophecy and all spiritual gifts is it starts with Jesus. It is all of the Christian life is Jesus-centered. That's why as a church, we are Jesus-centered. And like what I said last week, if a main thing is something else for you other than Jesus himself, this isn't the church for you because we are all about, let's try that again, this side. We are all about
Jesus.
That's who we are. As a church, we are all about Jesus, and the Spirit is all about Jesus as well. Look at John 16 up on the screen. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. These are the words of Jesus. He will glorify Jesus. And so the Spirit now glorifies Christ. We know that. And so when we think about the idea of spiritual gifts, they are pointing towards the building up of the body of Christ to the glory of God and our joy. It all starts with Jesus. And guess what? It ends with Jesus. Look what it says in Revelation 19, towards the end of all things. For the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. And so now we see prophecy, this idea of prophecy, of proclaiming a word from the Lord. It's about Jesus. It's a clear witness for Jesus, which is interesting because this aligns with Old Testament prophecy. That if a prophet led others to another God, well, if you've never read the scripture, there's rocks involved. Take you out back and stone you to death. Not a good time. Right? Yeah, no thanks. It's not a cool thing. But basically, prophecy isn't about the person. Prophecy isn't about some sort of political movement. Prophecy, I mean, it can reflect those things. But at the end of the day, the beginning of the gifts of the Spirit and the essence of prophecy to the end until he returns is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 12 now, starting in verse 4. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation for the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these empowered by one and the same spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So what are some things that we learn from this? One, there's a variety, which is great. There's a variety of gifts. And I would say that even the list of gifts that I listed the first week we did, I think there's 25 some odd gifts or so, between 20 and 25, depending on how many overlap there is. But the bottom line is that I don't think it's exhaustive. I think we can have more gifts than even what's listed in Scripture. And so, but there's a variety, which means we're not all going to look the same. It's not cookie cutter. It's not this conformity. It's diversity within unity, the body of Christ. And we see not only is there a variety, but there's also an empowerment, that all of our gifts are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, one Spirit. You could say Jesus. It's usually the right answer. But they're empowered. So again, now we're talking about getting in this car and driving. Oftentimes we try to use our gift without just simply asking, Spirit, empower my gift. Like, give me power to live beyond myself. And that's why some of these cooler gifts, I say cooler, probably shouldn't have said that, but more kind of miraculous gifts that are out there, it's like, that's beyond man. He couldn't have produced that, like prophecy. And it helps with our faith, and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. I've been praying for the prophetic all week, and I hope you will join. I hope you will join in prayer for the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we see that not only are they variety empowered, but there's a common good. In other words, the gifts are for the common good of the people, and God gives as he wills. We see that in sovereignly, God gives to each one individually as he wills. But we're going to learn in a minute, we're also to pray for more gifts. But here's what's cool, is God gave it to you. God gave, as we talked about the first week, God gave everyone a gift. Do you believe? Whole gospel thing, you have the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he gives you a gift. And it's not for us to go, I don't like that gift, like a spoiled child. Like we open up, yeah, if you have kids, you know this look. When you give your kids a gift that they don't really like, they're just like, oh, thanks, Dad. Like, you know that? Yeah, all the parents are like, yeah, I know that look. And if you don't, then you've been nailing Christmas every year. So, but the bottom line is sometimes we question God. Like, God, don't, I want a different gift. It's like, no, God empowers and he knows what he's doing, amen? He knows what he's doing. All right, now we're going to skip down to, so he goes through and talks about one body and many members. So remember, we're kind of coming in and honing in on the idea of prophecy. So we're going to skip down to verse 27, 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 27. It says this, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Now, before I read the next section, you should know that as you're reading through Scripture, there's two kind of subjects of Scripture. There's truth, which is an indicative, and then there's a command, which is an imperative. You guys have heard me say this over and over again, but it's super important because as you're reading, you're seeing these truths that then motivate the commands of Scripture. And what did we just read? Look at this. But earnestly desire the higher gifts. Is that a truth or a command? That's a command. So you are commanded in the name of Jesus to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Keeping in mind the rest of verse 31, and I will show you a still more excellent way. I will show you still a more excellent way. You see, love, like the gospel, like Jesus, has priority over spiritual gifts. See, you can have love without using your gifts, but you can't have true gifts without love. Let me say that again. You can have love without using your gifts, but you can't have true gifts without love. Let me make my point. Chapter 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I'm nothing. And so we see love taking a precedence over a more excellent way. You see, what umbrellas over the entire law? It's two commands. The first one, love. Really? Okay, let me re-ask the question. Jesus says there's two commandments that kind of oversee or help interpret the entire law. Okay, love. Love, yeah, your neighbor, love others. So love God, love others, okay? Let's say that together. Number one,
love God.
Number two,
love others.
Like that's the priority. Now, here's the crazy thing. You are commanded to desire spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts help you do those things, but they're never the priority. They're to be desired. They're to be wanted. But loving God is primary. Loving others is primary, because without love, well, you're nothing. Look what it says in Matthew 7. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And so what we see is that unbelieving people can do crazy things like prophesy, even cast out demons, even in the name of Jesus, and do mighty works in Jesus' name, but the bottom line is they don't have a relationship with God. How crazy is that? And so you have these gifts out there where people are doing these things, and I mean, at the end of the day, I see a lot of this happening in our day with the prosperity gospel. And they're seemingly doing these things and prophesying, and some of them are even coming true. But I know for a lot of these preachers, the damage they've done to the body of Christ, hopefully not, but this might be what they hear. So then, how do we know? Like when we think about prophecy, how do we know whether they're a false prophet, a true prophet, a believer, unbeliever? Is this person like a wolf in sheep's clothing kind of feel? But Jesus thankfully gives an answer right before this. He says in Matthew 7, 15 through 16, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their what? By their fruits. You will recognize them by their fruits. In other words, you will see, and this is why it's so important to be in community, you will see a person's life that builds a relational equity that then you can go, okay, I can hear this. I can hear this. You guys still with me? Chapter 13, verse 8. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall fully know, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. What we just read, love never ends, but prophecies in tongue, at one point they will end. And that makes sense. Like, we won't need prophecies in heaven, right? Like, because we'll be fully known. We won't need a word of knowledge in heaven. We won't even need encouragement. That's kind of cool. Like, we just will always be up and built up and encouraged. Like, it's going to be amazing. In the meantime, talking about prophecy, it just said in speaking about the gift of prophecy within the New Testament, it says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." And then it goes on to say, "We now see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." See, this is talking about the second coming of Christ. In the meantime, in these last days then, we know in part, we prophesy in part, and we see in a mirror dimly. Interesting. Look at 14, verse 1. "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." So now, we have a few commands here. One, pursue love. Two, what's it say there? Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And then number three, especially that you may prophesy. Okay, let me try that again. Especially that you may. Okay, chapter 14, verse 1. Okay, everybody see it? You guys need to be in your Bibles. Okay, so pursue love, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So important. "For the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit." We'll talk more about tongues down the road. "On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation." So here's a way we can know true biblical prophecy. New Testament biblical prophecy. It is upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. And they're all very similar words, but the word upbuilding means this. I looked this up in the Greek. "To increase the potential of someone or something, with focus on the process involved, to strengthen, to make more able, to build up." And so we start to see now, what is prophecy? Prophecy is a word or revelation from God that we then receive and with human words speak to people. Why? So that they have more potential. Like, and we begin to invest in other people. Man, this is a really cool gift. It's not something to be afraid of. Why? Because if God so gifts you with this, then you get to walk around giving people a bunch of potential to live their faith in a greater ways in the name of Jesus. To come along and encourage, to speak that word, consolation, comfort. They're all kind of words that lend to kind of this kind of wearying, and the prophetic word comes in. It's and the lifting up, building up, strengthening. You guys like that? Just kidding. Like a strengthening of. Encourage you to work out. Do we need to stand up and do jumping jacks again? It's not that hot. No? All right. But that's the idea of prophecy. So we see in chapter 14, verse 3, the one who speaks with people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. All right. Remember chapter 14, verse 4. "The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up." Wait, what did you just say? That there's a greater gift? He did. But what's the criteria? It doesn't mean that the person is greater. It means the gift is greater. Why? Because it directly and immediately builds up the church. That's the criteria for by which he means greater. He's going to number them in a little bit and almost like a number of importance. But the bottom line is, I don't think he already did. But the bottom line is that you have this kind of like, I'll just give you a hint. Tongues is for personal edification, unless it's interpreted. So if I came out and did a tongue right now, scared anybody? You guys. And it just sat silent, then I know that we don't have the gift of interpretation here in this church. And so I'll continue to pray, as it says in the scriptures, to myself and to God, which I do every Sunday. But if someone interprets, someone comes along and I speak in a should have bought a Hyundai kind of voice, and people are like, what the heck just happened? What did he just say? And then somebody stands up and prophetically speaks a word over our church. What then happens to our church? Built up. For the upbuilding. Greater is defined by the building up of the church. Now, tongues aren't meant to be downed because of that. It's for self-edification so that I can have a greater participation within the body of Christ. It's just that tongues have a public edification to the body. Or prophecy, sorry. Prophecy has a public edification. That's why they're greater. All right. Let's go to verse 22. Keep rolling along here. So chapter 14, verse 22. It says, thus tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers, while prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together and all speak in tongues and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are all out of your minds? But if all prophesy, listen to this, and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all and he's called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Oh, how I want this. Ah, can you imagine? Just all of a sudden preaching, I just go, John, and I read this story by Sam Storms. He went to a conference where they had people that had the gift of prophecy, and he was a young, struggling pastor. And he goes in the room, and they're going through, and they're prophesying over people, and he looks at Sam Storms and says, I'm going to tell you your prayers. And he literally told him, like, all the stuff he'd been praying about his church, he literally verbatim these prayers. And so, of course, he's just like, whoa. And then he encouraged him and gave him a prophetic word for his leadership in his church. Ah, how cool would that be here? Let's pray for that. Because that's stuff beyond us. That's not just putting a liturgy together. That's not just, you know, kind of like putting together a sermon and a teaching, which is still good and faithful and true. But can you imagine if somebody's visiting our church or somebody that's kind of kicking the tires of Jesus going, I don't know if I want to be a part of this thing. Is it just man-made? Da, 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 da. And then all of a sudden, prophecy comes down. They are like, whoa, that's me. And they fall to their knees. God is real. Convicted by the Holy Spirit, gets saved, baptized, and discipled the Great Commission. You guys in yet? Getting there. All right. So we just read, 22 through 25. So look at verse 26. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up. So all of our gifts, including prophecy, are for the building up of the church. So let's switch down to verse 29. Very specific, because they obviously had a lot of prophets in Corinth. It says in verse 29, let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh in what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one so that you all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And so what we learn here is something very interesting. So let me ask you a question. Do you think that the prophet Isaiah, when he was going to the kings and exhorting the nation of Israel, said something, thus saith the Lord, and then went to the people and say, hey, is that work for you? Is that okay? Did he do that? Interesting, because it says in the text, it says, look at verse 20. Let's see, I lost my spot, sorry. Verse 29. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. Now that involved a little more Greek study on that one, because who is the others? Well, the summation of the commentaries in the Greek isn't talking about other prophets, it's talking about the people. Interesting. And so there's something different than from Old Testament prophecy. There's similarities for sure. But it seems to me, and hopefully you guys can study it out this week, because we're going to address it next week and answer some of the bigger questions and the implications of what the New Testament prophecy means. But we're seeing something different here than Scripture itself and Old Testament prophecy. Something different. You guys can write that down. Important to study. And so we see others weigh in, and then look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21 up on the screen. Someday. Do not quench the Spirit. These are all commands. Ready? Don't quench the Spirit. Amen? Do not despise. What's it say there? Do not despise. Now, I didn't write this. This isn't a letter to the church in Goleta by Pastor Bobby Grassi. Because I can't add to Scripture, right? We'll talk about that next week. But it says here in God's word, do not despise prophecies, but test everything and then hold fast what is good. And so we see a distinction between Old Testament prophecy and the word of God that I don't need to like confirm with the word of God. I know it's right and true. The Old Testament prophets weren't like, hey, what do you guys think? Babylon is coming. You're all going to be judged. Is that okay? Like, that wasn't the case. So there's a distinction. Others weigh what is said. And then verse 36, as we begin to wrap things up. Or was it from you that the word of God came? Or are you the only ones it has reached? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge that the things I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. So, my brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. What you just heard the Apostle Paul saying is that if a prophet comes and says something contradictory to the written word by Paul, then he's not to be recognized. And so now you see an understanding of New Testament prophecy under the word of God. But I would like to point out, it says this, do not forbid speaking in tongues. We'll get there. But if you forbid speaking in tongues, you're breaking a clear commandment in Scripture. There's no other way to read that. But look what it says. My brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy. So you, by Scripture, are commanded to desire the gift of prophecy. So I wonder how many of you will pray this week for it, or even right now. Because the Scripture is right here. Like, you're not wrestling with my message anymore, you're wrestling with the text. Like, you're wrestling with God if you have a huge problem with it. That doesn't go well, by the way. But all things should be done decently and in order, and that takes us back to last week. Now, next week, we're going to talk about the authority of New Testament prophecy, the difference between Old Testament and New Testament prophecy. We're going to talk about the implications of what that means for our church and all the things, kind of the bigger questions, because a lot of the things that we talked about have a direct effect on some mainstream doctrines and understanding of God and the church that we need to be careful of. But for now, just looking at the text, what is prophecy? What does the Bible say? Hopefully you're writing it all down. If you're not in a community group, get in a community group. They've been having killer discussions. There hasn't been one person that's been at Rick's community group specifically that hasn't told me, wow, what an amazing community group. We talked about this and this and that. Go to a community group. But if you're not able to go to that, study, read, call me, email me. Let's ask questions. Let's go back and forth. Let's meet for coffee and talk about what the Scriptures actually mean. Amen? As the band comes up, I'm going to pray for us and do exactly what the Scriptures has asked. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, in the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask that you would give me the gift of prophecy. I pray that you would gift our people with the gift of prophecy. and that you would fill and immerse us with the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, and that you would teach us, oh God, how to move and mature in this gift so that our church and the greater body of Christ here in Goleta and Santa Barbara can be encouraged and built up. We pray these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.